from Kashubi region in Poland. Welcome to the GCN show.
Coming up this week, save our sport. We are begging the UCI to step in so that the pursuit of speed doesn't kill cycling. Find out why.
We've also got
the internet. It sort of broke, really.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
You and I have a limit, and I think that's enough.
Mate, we'd be banned from the sport if they termed it like that.
We got some views on big corporations these days, haven't we?
This week in the world of cycling, we learnt that Tadej Pogačar is so far above everybody else that, according to many, he's now making racing boring.
At least when another Galactico like Van Aert, Vanderpool, Evenepoel, Vingegaard or Roglic aren't in the same race. Strade Bianca's men's race, it was a bit of a snooze fest.
Little bit.
To be fair, wasn't it? Impressive, but a snooze fest.
We also learned that with 2024 being the year of killer deals on bikes and equipment, the biggest discount of all was Wiggle itself. It sold last week with a staggering 98.5% reduction on its valuation from just 2 years ago.
Wow. I think I'd pretty much buy anything if it was 98.5%
Me
off.
Me too.
If you are, by the way, either really big or really small, there are still bargains to be had at Wiggle. But I must say, it feels less like browsing and more like picking through a carcass, like a vulture.
Yeah, it doesn't
or
feel
something.
Great, does it?
No.
In all seriousness, though, our thoughts are definitely with all those people who've lost their jobs through basically no fault of their own, of course.
Yeah. We got some views on big corporations these days, haven't we? Now, talking of big, we also learned that the new trend of giant vomit-inducing helmets is sadly gathering pace.
Bigger is seemingly better, so Giro have just turned it up to 11 with the new shark bite.
If only they had called it that. No, apparently it's called an Aerohead 2, and it was unveiled on Monday at Tirreno Adriatico by Team Visma Lisa Bike. If you've not seen it yet and you're listening to the GCN show as a podcast, I mean, how do we describe this, Dan?
Well, where do we start? You know how time trial helmets extend behind the back of the head? This one extends further than that at the front. So it basically protrudes, should I say, from the forehead by about 6 inches.
Yeah, and quite a bit around the sides as well.
It just protrudes it's everywhere. Just,
yeah, but mainly at the front. You know, Giro used to have a helmet called the Hammerhead.
They did.
But I guess maybe that name might be a bit too close to the mark to bring that back with this one.
I see
one.
What you mean. Yes.
Yeah.
The precise moment it was unveiled on Visma Lisa Bike's Instagram, the internet, it sort of broke, really.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
WhatsApp exploded. Even our mates at Global Triathlon Network recoiled in horror when they saw images of it.
Yeah, and that is saying something, because anything goes with that lot. Although, to be fair, James Connemara, or James Connemara, if you're Connor, also said that he wouldn't fancy wearing one in a crash either, given he thinks the length of it and the potential torsional forces. But presumably Giro have thought about that.
Well, you'd hope so, but yeah. Then again, Specialized designed an aero bike a few years back, which Cavendish apparently would not ride in races because the brakes didn't work.
I remember that, yeah. How'd you make an aero bike faster? You take the brakes off, don't you? Now, back to the new helmet, or Abomination, as it has been nicknamed. It is undoubtedly, you'd think, going to be fast, right? Visma Lisa Bike's head of performance, Mathieu Heiboer, have I got that right?
Heiboer.
Heiboer was instrumental in its design, but it feels like a step too far, doesn't it, if we're being honest?
I'd say it's three steps too far, if I'm being honest. The specialised head sock, that was bad enough.
The head condom,
it?
Yeah.
Then those awful-looking road aero helmets this year.
Yeah.
And now this.
Yeah.
I mean, they might be fast, but they're not doing anything for pro cycling street cred, are they?
No. I mean, you make it sound like pro cycling had street cred.
True.
To make matters worse, according to the UCI rules, this helmet could be used in road racing as well.
I don't want to think about that.
Could it? I mean, like...
No. Well, yeah, according to the rules and according to Inner Ring on X or Twitter...
Well, Inner Ring knows.
Yeah, they're very good, he or she.
Yep.
We won't delve too deeply into the subject of street cred because Ollie and Alex will be doing exactly that on this week's tech show, which will be released on GCN Tech this coming Thursday.
That's right. I bet Ollie will be livid, frankly, that he hasn't thought of this monstrosity already. In fact, actually... Should we just give him a call? I would actually quite like to know what he's got to say. Right, okay, hang on a minute. You can just talk amongst yourselves for a minute whilst we do this. Charlie. Okay. Come on. It's not like he's got anything better to do. Ollie, you are live on the GCN show. How are you doing?
I feel like I'm on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Well, I mean, this is quite similar. I'm going to put you on the spot. The new Giro helmet, will you wear one?
I mean, this is coming from the man who wears aero bras.
Yep.
Even I have a limit.
I've also heard you wear aero socks on Zwift. Is that true?
Even I have a limit, and I think that's enough to turn me into a gravel rider.
Really? So what is it? Is it the protrusion at the front or the sides that you find a particular turn off?
The fact that you're having to use the word protrusion is enough of a turn off. But I think you'll have to watch the tech show this week to find out what we think and what the public thinks.
What the public thinks? All right, yeah, we will tune in for certain. Thanks, Ollie.
Bye.
Bye.
I would actually phone him up in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah, but it's phone a friend.
Oh, shots fired. Yeah. Before we move on, though, would you agree that this is a step too far?
I would. I mean, as much as it sounds trivial, I do think that something needs to be done to protect the aesthetics of pro cycling. Any such intervention would obviously have to come from the UCI.
Yeah.
But it's not that they've not done anything like that before.
Well, that is true. In downhill mountain biking, I think we've said this before, haven't we? Back in 2008, they banned tight-fitting Lycra clothing for fear that the sport would no longer be cool. That being part of the draw. Mm. And that was actually because of the riders. They got together to lobby the UCI.
I think that was a good move.
Yeah.
But there's also a precedence in road racing and time trials as well, isn't there? So remember these time trial bikes from the 1990s?
Yeah.
Not like anything we see now. Many people, probably even us, were thinking that the UCI was stifling innovation. But at the same time, had they not implemented new regulations on frame design, the bikes that we would see being used today could look just as ridiculous, if not more ridiculous, than these helmets.
Yeah. Well, for a time, helmets got pretty bad then, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Remember Miguel Indurain's one with the two windows. Remember that?
Oh, I remember it.
Yeah. Anyway, they would look ridiculous, but they're also expensive, wouldn't they? It's another
More
story.
Expensive.
But yeah, should aesthetics matter? I guess that's the question. Personally, yes, I think so. Pro cyclists are ultimately the billboard for cycling, or a billboard, but a big one. It's not a coincidence that interest and participation in cycling boomed in the US when Lance Armstrong was at the peak of his powers, and in the UK with Bradley Wiggins, I guess. Obviously, there's a bit of fallout since then from Armstrong, but it does go to show how pro riders can have a hugely positive impact on the sport in general. And so from that point of view, it is important that the sport looks appealing.
Agreed. Yeah. But these latest technological developments are not appealing, however you look at them, are they?
No.
Even the rides themselves, I think, would look in the mirror and say, I look ridiculous, but they're going to wear or ride anything in the pursuit of free speed. I think we all would in that situation.
I think we all would, yeah. Which, you know, if you were going to say, would you like to win a race and look like a dork or not win a race, where I'm sat now, I'd have taken a race win looking like a dork.
Yeah, and I think everyone would now. There was a period, I'd say, 8 to 10 years ago, where certain riders from the Italian part of the pro peloton would not wear aero helmets on the road because they didn't look good.
No.
But I think there's so much more data now available to everyone, even they would.
Yeah. I was thinking, watching Strada Bianca, what Ben Healy would feel like if he'd won that race, looking as he did, like, you know, well, yeah, there's the photo. But clearly he wouldn't care because he just won Strada Bianca.
Exactly.
So there we go. Anyway, this is why we are appealing to, begging, basically, the UCI to step in here, okay? UCI, you have banned long socks, you have banned fairings, you have banned extreme positions. Please step in to ban ugliness.
Ugliness? Mate, we'd be banned from the sport if they termed it like that.
Yeah, okay. You know what we mean,
I do. Yeah, UCI, make this sport cool again. All right, let us know your thoughts in the comments section below. I mean, I'm pretty sure that none of you watching or listening to this will think that they're pretty, these new helmets. But are they detrimental to our sport?
Yeah, it's a good question, that. Look forward to reading what you've got to say about this. I've got two final thoughts on this, Dan.
Have you?
Yeah. Firstly, do you know who benefits from this latest release?
Who?
POC.
Because their new helmet doesn't look as crap as this new helmet.
Exactly that. Yeah. Secondly, you know the rule from the UCI that stipulates that any piece of equipment used in UCI racing has to then be available for sale to the general public.
Yeah.
I don't think they need to bother with this one, quite frankly. I'm not entirely sure they're going to be able to give these helmets
away. Well, maybe 98.5% off. Yeah. As an introductory offer. I think I've got one final thought as well.
Got it.
Maybe a couple. I don't think we should blame in any way the designers of these helmets. Their job is to work within the rules stipulated by the UCI and make their riders as fast as they possibly can be. We can't blame the riders, as we said, because they're going to go fast for free if they can do so. So I think it does need the UCI to do something about this. Personally.
Well, yeah, it's going to have to be externally policed rather than self-policed, isn't it?
Also, we were talking to Mark Threlfall earlier, weren't we?
Yeah.
And he did point out, because there aren't as many stringent regulations in triathlon, there are a few very good things that have come out of that in terms of the innovation that they have in that sport, which we haven't had in cycling because of the stifling rules that they have in time trials. It's another thought to consider, I think.
Well, I mean, he's right, yeah. But I can't help but think we should make the exception for this one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Or maybe triathlon should ban tight-fitting Lycra clothing.
Oh, there we go. Anyway, like I said, get involved in the comments section. And, would you wear one?
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we're going to start with some new tech. Canyon have just released their newest drop bar electric bike, the Grizzle On.
As the name suggests, it's based on the much-loved Grizzle gravel bike, but in reality, it's a very different beast, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Not least because of the Bosch Performance Line SX motor and 400-watt battery.
Yeah. The lightest build is 15.3 kilos, which is pretty good for a full-fat e-bike. All of the range has suspension forks. One of the range is in full commuter mode with mudguards and pannier racks as well.
A really nice touch is the integrated lights with two mega rear lights integrated into the rear dropouts. Always nice not to have to remember to put a light on your bike, isn't it?
Yeah, strikingly effective, those. Mm. Also, I've never seen it before, but Canyon have bypassed, this is a bit nerdy, they've bypassed the SRAM Axis batteries. And it just plugs, the rear derailleur plugs straight into the bike. It runs off one central battery, which I thought was really cool. And like I said, I mean, I haven't gone looking around e-bikes, if I'm totally honest, but I've never seen that before. We loaned one, actually, to a GCN staff member, Matt, for a week, lucky fizzer, to see what he thought about swapping his regular bike for an e-bike for his commute. And that video is live now, if you would like to take a look.
On a different subject, there was also a great article over on GCN's website at the weekend. James Howard Jones has gone through the archives of GCN's pro bike videos and looked at average weights of pro bikes since 2015 when we first bought a set of scales.
Yeah, funny that, really, isn't it? We've created an archive of data. It's well worth a read, this, right? But in essence, he has plotted average bike weights and average race speeds, and the correlation is pretty striking, with bike weights rising steadily and race speeds doing likewise.
Yeah, so check out this graph.
It is a good graph, isn't it?
Yeah, we should probably describe the graph for podcast listeners.
Oh, yeah. It goes upwards. Both trend lines.
Yeah. Not weight and speed.
Yeah. There's a little blip in the middle, which James explains in his article. And weirdly, on both bike weight and race speed.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's a striking correlation. So, yeah, there we go. Right. Do you remember the other week when we were talking about e-bike speed restrictions and how they should be raised? It turns out that someone in the UK government was listening and immediately announced a review of e-bike regulations.
Except that they weren't listening particularly well, were they? Either that or they just looked at the title.
Yeah.
Because it's not speed restrictions they're looking at, but rather power and whether the bike needs to be pedalled or not.
Well, yes, i.e. whether it's an e-bike or an e-motorbike. Currently, any throttle-assisted vehicle faster than 3.73 miles per hour...
3.73, that's very precise, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yeah, so faster than 3.73 miles per hour, which equates to 6 kilometres per hour,
Oh, exactly six.
Yes, yeah, so it's an EU law. Anyway, it needs specific approval, and it's generally classed as a motorbike. But this would mean that you could ride an e-bike and not pedal, have 500 watts at your disposal, but still be limited to 25 km.
They didn't listen at all last week, did they?
No, they really didn't, no. Now, there's a lot of people up in arms about this potential change of legislation. Concerns range from basically allowing motorbikes into cycling infrastructure to opening the door to requiring helmets and insurance and licences for e-bikes.
Does seem like a strange move, but without wishing to get too political, that fact may or may not surprise people.
Well, yes, exactly. Why they are suddenly debating this, one can only guess.
That's from last week's show.
Well, yeah, good point, yeah.
Right, for many of us here in the Northern Hemisphere, winter is now finally, it's on its way out, isn't
it? Well, it's slowly, slowly on the way out, and it's definitely not in a linear fashion, not like the graph that James created. But yes, spring is ultimately springing. So we should spare a thought then for our more northern contingent who have to endure real winter.
Hello, Canadians!
Hey,
yeah,
hi,
this
guys.
One is for you. So according to the energymix.com, winter cycling is on the rise in Whitehorse, Saskatoon and Montreal. Fueled by robust camaraderie, a shared determination to exchange best practices and the delight of navigating winter landscapes on two wheels. A quote.
I was going to say that sounded like a quote, Dan. Now, I would like to point out at this moment that no one has ever delighted navigating a winter landscape when it's 3 degrees and flipping raining, okay, like it was with me on Saturday. So, Canadians, take note, all right? What is cool about this situation in Canada, no pun intended, was that two Finnish cycling ambassadors, that's cycling ambassadors from Finland, just for clarification, were invited over to share their insights.
You know why? Because there you get real winters.
Yeah, you do.
So in the city of Uhu, just 100 miles
where?
Shy. Is it not that? Auhu?
I don't know.
O-U-H-U.
Uhu. Yeah, maybe
Uhu.
It is, yeah.
Uhu. Auhu. Anyway, it's 100 miles shy of the Arctic Circle. And there, 22% of all journeys are made by bike. And they say it's not because they're tough, because they are wimps.
Now, something must be lost in translation.
It feels like
surely.
It, no, they say that cycling is basically the easiest way to get around and that with the right infrastructure, everyone can do it. Basically, all kids over there cycle to school year-round.
That is incredible, isn't it? What a great story. Canadians being taught how to cycle in winter. I would love to go to Uhu. Uhu. Please, our Finnish viewers, can you correct our lousy pronunciation there?
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to go there next year, next winter. I think we should do it. I'll do it.
Yeah, you're welcome to go over there.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, if kids can cycle to school, it's not like, you know.
Whilst you're there, make sure that you do some how-to winter riding videos for GCN, because you know what people say, we've never done a proper winter one. They've got proper winters over there by the sounds of
it. They do indeed, 100 miles from the Arctic Circle. I mean, it'd be very dark, the videos.
Take some lights.
Yeah, there we go. All right, think of everything, Dan.
Yeah.
Anyway, Canadians, let us know what you think about that.
Well, the comments I'm most looking forward to this week are how to pronounce Uhu. Auhu. In fact, I'm going to look it up now. Hack /bodge of the week now. And we'll start with the bodge. It's not Auhu or Uhu. Turns out there was a spelling mistake in the article we read, and it's Ulu.
There you go, yeah. Which is the fifth most populous city in Finland. Apparently it's the second biggest city in Finland that's monolingual, whatever that is. And it's also a seaside resort, presumably in the summer months.
Can't believe there's much sunbathing going on.
210,000 people live there.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's quite big,
isn't it? That's a lot of people cycling. But anyway, there we go. That's what we now know about Aulu.
On to some actual hacks and bodges then, and we'll start with this one from Rithwan. I was just cycling and decided to stop at the cafe. When I went back to my bike, I noticed that I'd lost my cable plug for the front derailleur. To prevent further damage to my carbon frame, I bought a small pack of screw plugs from the hardware store nearby and borrowed some pliers from the friendly employees. Slipped the plug into the cable and stuck it in the hole.
No way. I mean, that's ingenious.
Yeah.
Incredible spotting that you were missing that.
It is, yes.
I mean, that is like, that's attention to detail.
Give the bike a quick once over before Alex, continuing on his way.
Yeah, Alex Payton would would probably not even be able to do that. And he can spot most things on a bicycle. So yeah, fair play. I'm going to say that's a hack.
It's a hack from me as well.
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah, right. Next up, we've got this one from Sunny in Melbourne, Australia. Saw this bike locked up outside my uni. I dealt with some numbness and discomfort before. This feels like a bit of an overhill solution, though. I mean, that looks like it might solve some kinds of numbness, but also it looks like a recipe for disaster. Mm. What is that?
Well, you'd be comfortable until you're on the rivet, won't you?
Yeah, or like in a crash, that thing looks like it'd be a heat. I mean, it's obviously like an actual thing. Aeroelastic, it's called.
Do you need glasses?
Japanese engineering, pain-free design. There you go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even on the bulbous bits, it doesn't look like it'd necessarily be particularly comfortable. As a description, which we keep forgetting to do for audio listeners.
Yeah, good point.
It's like a slit front part, but no padding whatsoever. It doesn't look very comfortable at all. And at the rear are two bulbous...
They look like little eggs, don't they, that you can sit on?
Big eggs, I'd say. Two big eggs that you can sit on.
Oh, that just looked horrific.
They do look quite spongy, but...
Oh, yeah.
They don't look comfortable, do they?
No, not at all.
Yeah, so I'm doing bodge.
Yeah. I'm going to say bodge as well. I mean, clearly it's a legit business, so someone is someone is buying those saddles. If you've got experience of an aeroelastic saddle, do let us know.
Maria wrote in with this one saying, wanted an affordable bike rack that disappeared into the wall and didn't stand out when the bike was removed. So I got some industrial wool brackets, sprayed them white and wrapped some oversized laces for cushioning and then fixed it to the wall. So minimalist brackets, I guess, attached to a white wall so you can barely see them, even when the bike's on it, let alone when it's off.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the choice of laces is an odd one. You know, given the amount of spongy things that you can buy.
Though, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, you can buy like white spongy things, can't you?
I guess you probably can.
White bar tape?
It's been a long time since I've been in the market for white spongy things.
Yeah.
I presume they do it.
Yeah. No, but I like that. I mean, like, bike hanging solutions are generally, like, great, aren't they?
Yeah.
So...
anything that saves space.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like that.
That's a hack from me.
Yeah. All right, hack from me. Well done, Maria. Next one, we got this from Toto in Snowdonia in Wales, here in the UK. A clip-on saddle bag prevents an arse saver from fitting under the saddle. Gaffer taped the arse saver carefully to the underside of the saddle bag. Hey presto, dry bum. And it's got hack or bodge written on it. So, I mean, it's a bodge, isn't it, if you've gaffer taped it to your saddle?
It is rather neat gaffer taping, though, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, it is a neat job. But can you...
I wonder if this is in permanent marker or whether it's wipe clean. Whatever we decide, they can wipe the hack or the bodge off.
Yeah. I mean, like, it is annoying that you can't fit an arse saver. Like,
no, very true. I feel like you that there must have been a slightly different solution available as opposed to gaffer taping it on.
Like maybe cutting a hole in the arse saver and then putting that above the saddlebag.
Yeah.
Because then that would make the arse saver even more secure.
Okay, well, we're both going bodge by the sounds of it, so...
Oh, there we are, yeah.
Toto, you can wipe the hack part of that off your arse saver. We'll finish with this one that came in from Carol, who said, this sign was put up at GCN HQ after Cadence Cat's scary mannequins and voodoo dolls were received. Be very afraid.
Cougar in area. Please stay on trails, travel in small groups. Do not allow men under 30 to travel alone.
Well, we'll be all right, won't we?
I know, I was just thinking that. I mean, it's very funny, but also it's quite sad that we're so far out of that.
We're not even close.
We can travel alone quite comfortably. Yeah. Oh, man. That's a bit depressing, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, this is a reference to the cougar attack last week I said actually sounded quite,
These things behind us that were sent into us by Cadence Cat, aka Carol, or the other way around.
Yeah.
Right, thank
you. Just out of interest, Carol, but we've moved to GCN HQ, so it's not where you think it is. So,
no, it's in Oulu.
Yeah.
thanks, everyone, for sending in and submitting your hacks and bodges. A reminder, if you haven't watched over the past few months, there's a different place now that the GCN app is no longer about. You'll need to go to upload.globalcyclingnetwork.com because that's where we're finding all the hacks and bodges these days.
The shortcut is a link in the description.
In it.
It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. that will arrive one day. Oh, yes, it will. What was I going to say? I do this quite a lot, don't I?
Yeah, the same as you say every week, I think, is what you were going to say.
I just got sidetracked by thinking about Wayne's World.
We give you a photo. You give us a witty caption. We pick a winner each and every week. Last week's photo was from the podium of Kuurne Brussels Kuurne, in which Wout van Aert has a bunch of flowers as winner, but also a cuddly donkey under his right arm. And our winner is Bike Tribe 7071, who put caption, "It's always cold racing this time of year, so I shave my legs, but still have a fuzzy ass."
That's amazing. I love that. That's proper good. Yeah, well-deserved bottle winging its way to you, Bike Tribe 7071. This week, we had to do it, didn't we? It is a picture of a Visma Lisa bike rider. I couldn't tell you which one because the helmet is so big, it's impossible to tell.
Yes.
Do you know who it is?
It's difficult to tell. Well, on our screens, we've got two choices. We're not sure which one will be used in the show yet. One of them is Ben Tullett. The other one is Jonas Vingegaard. So it's one of those two. Anyway, we're going to get you started.
Vingegaard shaved his legs, hasn't he, since he raced you?
Raced, yeah.
He must mean business now.
I will get you started. Guys, does my bum look big in this?
quality. No, but your forehead really does.
It does not matter what angle you look at that helmet from. It is horrific.
Well, yeah, some angles are even worse than others, though.
Yeah, true.
Like that four, like a side-on shot is... it's terrible, isn't it? Anyway, if you think you've got a witty caption, and my goodness me, if you can't think of one this week with that helmet, then there's no chance ever.
No.
Get involved in the comments section down below. We will very much look forward to reading those.
Just before we let you know what's coming up on GCN over the rest of this week, a few of our favourite comments from last week. Starting with two from last week's show, Chris Marsden puts, "Given rise in 20 mph zones and given cyclists are meant to ride and behave as traffic, in my humble opinion, I don't think a limit of 20 mph is unreasonable."
Yeah, fair enough. Is that H humble? I always thought it was honest. IMHO.
In my humble opinion, I think. I don't know. That's what I've always read it as.
Okay. There we go. Every day's a school day, isn't it? That is kind of my point. Is that, like, why should a bike be... But then I guess, of course, if you're talking about bike infrastructure. Smoke Dove said, "For me, it's simple. If you don't need to pedal, then it's not a bike. It's a motorcycle. For me, e-bike should be a regular bike with some assistance in your pedaling." Oh, I 100% agreed. It's almost like you've preempted the announcement from the UK government. Definitely are not arguing for non-pedal assisted e-bikes. I completely agree. That's a motorbike. Yeah. And, it's, you know, maybe they do have their place on the streets. But not...
On the road, yeah.
Yeah, not bicycles. Totally agree. An e-bike should have pedal assist. Just a little bit quicker, please.
Sticking to a bit of a theme here, some comments underneath, which is the best e-bike, e-road versus e-gravel. Graham Sutcliffe wrote, "At 70 years old, I changed to an e-gravel bike. Best thing I did, those hills are no problem now. Whilst 17 and 28, but if you ride off... /on the road, go for the gravel bike. If you ride strictly on the road, go for the gravel bike too."
Yeah, fair point that. We did have quite a bit of e-bike content actually over the last week on GCN. For those of you that aren't into e-bikes, do not worry, because it is not like a change of ethos or tack for us. It's just coincidence that we've had a few in quick succession. Under the vid that I... put out. Well, I didn't put out, but you know what I mean. I
was filmed it.
I didn't even film it. Yeah, I presented it. Underneath the video that I was the anchor man
face
for.
Camera,
does rim width make a distance? Distance, crikey, I'm not even a very good anchor man today either.
Well, the amazing thing about this is that we're paid to do this.
Oh my word. Yeah, it's a good point. Don't say that out loud, mate, otherwise someone might notice. Kenji Shikawa said, "The greatest debate, peak up, peak down? I guess now we know. Peak upside down." Yeah. Some people didn't believe that that was an effective way of not knowing what bike you're riding. But I honestly, like, I'm not advocating that people go out there and cut their, like, cycling caps to pieces. But it genuinely is unreal. Because when you're riding along, you'd have to make a real serious effort to look to see what bike.
Well, I thought it was genius.
Yeah, no, I did too. I mean, I don't want to pat myself on the back there, but it is borderline genius.
Crikey, son.
That might have gone a bit far there.
Frostbiker wrote, "That's borderline God." wrote, Stefan, you are half of the reason I even watch this channel.
Yeah.
So there's a great picture of Stefan that was used in the show last week. He's one of the people behind the camera, of course, who made a rare appearance in front of the camera at one point. Whilst Music Man put, wow, the editing in this video is so much more creative than most GCN vids.
It's funny. I wonder who's just snuck that comment in there. Isaac, you had anything to do with that? Yes, there we go. But no, it was a cool vid, that. Like I say, a few people, there was a few comments about, like, did I not realise that one pair of wheels were aluminium, one pair is carbon, and therefore that would also influence the my blind test? Yes, I am aware of that. Well, actually, we cut that bit out of the vid because I was rambling on a little bit too long. But
therefore, the conclusion is basically like Jesus.
Basically, yes, just Jesus. I mean, it's hard to know exactly how much of an effect that would have. It would take ages to work it out, and even then, it's only one person's opinion, isn't it? So it's not a scientifically robust test, but then hopefully you didn't think I was positioning as that in the first place.
It won't be seen in one of our favourite journals in the near future, will it?
No.
Underneath Super Size Me, we rode a giant bike. Chris Williams wrote, as soon as I saw that double disc front wheel, I thought, shut up and take my money.
Nice.
Alex R. Fane put, please have a child bike seat installed on that bike. You already know where I'm heading, don't you? Presumably wants Hank on the front. All right, coming up this week on the channel on Wednesday, how to always dress right.
They didn't ask either of us to present that one, did they, unfortunately? Yeah,
whilst on Thursday, Super Commuter. I think we've got a first look at a yet-to-be-revealed bike.
Yeah, it's got quite a lot of tech in this one. It's quite exciting. On Friday, everyone ignores this, but should they? We're talking about Q factor, which is how far apart your pedals are. So how widely spaced they are, basically. Do you look like you've been riding a horse for 25 years when you get off your bike? Or do you have a narrower stance? Basically looking at that. On Saturday, can Ollie hold a pro cyclist wheel on a flat road? So basically, how fast are pro cyclists? I actually don't know the answer to that one. I'm going to be quite intrigued to see. And then on Sunday, beginner versus amateur versus pro, descending edition. Ooh. So what is the difference in descending speeds? So we'll have a look.
That'll
at
that
That'll
be interesting because I think they're going to be quite significant.
I would think
definitely
so, yeah.
Watching to find out.
Yeah.
Right, that is all for this week. Thank you for listening and hopefully watching still. We are still on YouTube, of course. And we'll be back at the same time next week. And finding out, basically, whether people dislike that helmet as much as we did.
Basically, yeah. Thanks for watching. Or listening.